I've got to say that I am feeling very blessed. I took a bit of a chance a couple of days ago on the Facebook. And I know not all of you are into Facebook, and I can understand that. But somebody had posted something on there, said, use one word to describe me. You're starting, with the third initial of your first name, put a one-word descriptor of me on there. So I thought, oh, that's good. So I thought about who had written that, and I put a good word. But, I mean, trouble is, if too many people get on this website or start doing that, you run out of, my third initial is M, so there's not all that many words that you would want to use starting with M, but I think I put mellifluent, and you can go away and look that up if you want. But I thought, well, I'll take a chance on that, so I posted it on my Facebook and see what people thought of me, and I know it was a bit of a chance, but it was great. I got some really encouraging responses. Even Andy Reid over in America at the moment wrote some nice things. A one-word descriptor of me. My cousin misread the thing. She she wrote naughty. And I thought, me? And then she wrote a couple of, an hour or so later, she said, oops, she said, I misread it. I thought I had to do a descriptor of me, like of her. So I am feeling blessed, it's true. And I was blessed in the worship. Fantastic. I don't remember actually singing that song, the new song that you brought today. Maybe I was away when you did it. But, there was a line in there which just so blessed me. We stand under open heaven. And I thought, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can feel that. Jesus lives in us, doesn't he? By his Holy Spirit. Jesus always ministered under an open heaven. So it's just a case of recognizing Jesus in us and recognizing that what he ministered under is also available to us. But so often we don't recognize it, do we? I remember Bill Johnson, thank you, said, as we incline the affection of our hearts towards Jesus, the atmosphere around us changes. And I held on to that for a long time, but I don't say it, I don't remind myself of it quite so much today. But it's true, isn't it? It's just reflecting on God's word just causes a change in the atmosphere around us. We stand under an open heaven. That's not what I wanted to speak about, of course. Proverbs 28, verse 19 says, where there is no vision, the people run to ruin, really. They go off and do their own thing. Some people describe it as the people perish. And I was really challenged. On Monday, we met as the Shared Life Forum. That's the congregational team leaders, their deputies, with the central team. And we pray for the congregations. We pray for each other, and we pray for the things that are going on in our lives. And somebody said to me, well, do the people in Slough, the congregation, really understand the vision of River Church Slough? And I said, yes, of course. I said, I put it up on the overhead every day, every week that we meet, and I'm constantly reminding people. But it was only when I was in bed in the early hours of the morning that the Holy Spirit started to convict me, actually, that I don't talk much about the vision for River Church Slough. So that's what I want to do today, to look at the River Church Slough vision, which says, River Church Slough aims to create relational, multicultural community united in a desire to pursue the presence of God and be changed by his Spirit so that they can change the world on their doorstep. Now, that was cobbled together by the, largely Kristen Foster, as you might have known from the length of it, but by the team that used to meet before we had a congregation here. That was the heart that God has put in us. And, I often talk about our desire to see every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshipping God together. But actually, there's a whole lot more to the Slough vision than just that. It talks about being relational, multicultural. It talks of unity. It talks of the presence of God. And it talks about transformation, both personal and into our community. So that's what I want to speak about this morning, okay? And I've tried to pepper a couple of jokes or amusing comments. So I'll tell you that now because in case you miss it, you know. So you'll be looking out for it, okay? Relational. Oscar Wilde wrote, "After a good dinner, one can forgive anybody, even one's own relations." That was one of them. The fact is, we are relations. We're all children of God. Amen? We're brothers and sisters. Jesus is our elder brother. Isn't that good news? And whilst I cannot deny, of course, that there are dysfunctional families around and in the world, that's not the model that we're going for. That's not the model that we see in Scripture. That's not what we're after. Rather, we're going for this. Beloved, let us love one another. I'm still disappointed, you know, after all that play on the Scripture that Colin Barnes brought a couple of months ago. You remember that? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Beloved, that's me. Do you remember? Oh, come on. Beloved. Not everyone. Beloved, let's love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know, another way that the Bible describes us is that we're all part of the body of Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12. And maybe we look a bit different. Maybe we have different functions. But who knows what happens if the parts start to act independently? You know? If my leg doesn't listen to the rest of me, what happens? You know, I fall over. The body gets sick. It develops cancer. And eventually, death can ensue. But we're all part of a loving body. As we're told in 1 Corinthians 12, and it'd be good to read, wouldn't it? Just so that you know I'm not making this up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 and 6. There should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, but we're all part of the same body. Now, hopefully, the socials that we organized in August helped us, some of us, that was able to go, to relate a little bit more on a personal level. But I know that not everybody could come along to all of those events. So there is another opportunity, and I'm just going to remind you, can we have the holiday slides up? We're going to go on holiday together next April, I think it is. And anyway, so we're all going away together. And I hope that many of you, if not all of you, will come along. We've got 20 rooms booked. There it is. That's where we're going, to Hylee. It's only less than an hour away. And if we just run through those slides quickly. There you go. There's the part of the lounge. Friday the 15th to Sunday the 17th of April, 2011. And, keep going. Ensuite bedrooms. How about that? Height of luxury. Ensuite bedrooms. And there's more. All meals included. Cook breakfast, fellas. And if you persuade your wives to go and get a cooked breakfast as well, you might get two. Who knows? Lunch, dinner, and refreshments. Starts on Friday evening and goes through to Sunday afternoon. And there's all sorts of stuff that we can amuse ourselves with and hopefully get to know each other while we're doing playing games and whatever. Is that the last one? Yeah, less than 1 hour away, 7 miles from the M25. And the final one, it's £129 a person, and it's about 50% for the children aged between 4 to... Oh, okay. Yeah. 13 and under is half price, but 14 and above is full price. And that picture was taken last year when we was on holiday at Pilgrim Hall, and we had a great time. And I've had to promise that we won't be showing Mamma Mia again. Mind you, I don't know that I'll let Paul decide what video we will watch. So, as I say, Mike is doing the organisation of that, and probably you've already been asked. But if you haven't, please see him and come along. Is that okay? All right. Okay, another part of the vision is that we're multicultural. Now, culture is all about the attitudes and values which inform a society. Peter Schaffer, writing in Equus, said, "All my wife has ever taken from the Mediterranean, from that whole intuitive culture of 4 bottles of Chianti to make into lamps." More recently, Bill Bryson wrote, "Germans are flummoxed by humour. The Swiss have no concept of fun. The Spanish think there's nothing ridiculous about eating dinner at midnight. And the Italians should never, ever have been let in on the invention of the motor car." There is another version of that, but this one's a bit cleaner. So our cultures can be hard to understand sometimes, can't they? But whether by design or accident, many of us live cheek by jowl with people of very different cultures from our own. "It's not British, don't you know?" But that doesn't mean that their culture is wrong. It's just different. What it does mean is that we have to work hard to overcome our prejudices and learn to accept and love the folk that come from a different culture from our own. And and this is a bit of the vision that I have plugged, as I mentioned earlier. We are encouraged by that scene in heaven in Revelation 7 verse 9, which describes a great multitude which nobody could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, all crying out to God, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's our heart. You know, there are other churches perhaps that encourage or submit. I know it's nice to group together on occasions, but we don't want, and we've been warned actually prophetically about dividing our body. What we want to see is every tongue, every tribe, every nation worshipping God together. And that's got challenges of its own, I know, but that's our heart, okay? So one of the things that hopefully will help us to understand some of these different cultures is the Kairos course. Now, I know I showed this the slides. Yeah, let's have the slides. The Kairos course that's doing put on specially for Slough. Now, some of you weren't here last week, so please take note of this. This is a 9, if carry on, yeah. The Kairos course covers 4 mission themes: biblical, historical, strategic, and cross-cultural. It's a fantastic course, 9 weeks. And next slide. It's on Wednesday evenings between 7:30 and 10 at Windsor Hall. It's being put on, well, Kerry and I are doing a bit of extra training to qualify us to put the course on. Di Chapman will be leading it, and others throughout River Church that have done the course will also be helping to administer and deliver this course. So it's a great course. It's got fabulous... and there we are. That just goes to show. That we don't spend all the meetings dressed up like that. But we do consider some of the cross-cultural implications of where we live and how we actually approach and get close to people from other cultures. Starts 29th on Wednesday, but it's got an all-day Saturday right at the end of November as well. That's a typical evening session, a devotion, opening prayer and worship, devotion, prayer, looking at a specific people group. We recap what we learnt last week and the growth point, so there's discussions. There's a lot of interaction, you know. It's not just a case of sitting there listening to somebody, but there's a lot of interaction. Introduction to chapter 3 and then a DVD, for instance, this particular week is Messiah for All the People. Fabulous DVDs. They will move you, will challenge you and encourage you and motivate you and all that stuff. And we finish by 10. So fantastic course. And I hope that everybody will be able to come along and do that. Kerry is keeping a note of the numbers and she'll be seeking your money for the event. Is there one more? No. So it's fantastic and well worth the cost. So I'm hoping that everybody will be able to do that. Okay, the third item on the vision statement is about unity. And I think I might have used a version of this one time before. It said, one day a man was walking across a bridge and saw another man standing on the edge, about to jump off. And he ran up to him and said, stop, don't do it. He said, well, why shouldn't I? He replied. The other said, well, there's so much to live for. Like what? Well, are you religious or atheist? Religious. Me too. Well, are you Christian or Jewish? Christian. He said, me too. Are you Catholic or Protestant? Protestant. Well, I am as well. Are you Episcopalian? Tell where this comes from. Or Protestant? Protestant. Well, I am. Said, are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord? Did I get the Baptist? Oh, I did, yeah. Are you Church of the Lord and Baptist Church of God? Me too. Are you Original Baptist Church of God or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God? Reformed Baptist Church of God. Me too. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1879? Or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915? Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915, to which he said, die, you heretic, and pushed him off the bridge. Now, you know, there are inevitably going to be things that divide us, that we won't agree on. Well, not divide us, but things that we won't agree on necessarily. But let's not major on the things that divide us, but seek to focus on the things that we have in common. Paul writes in Ephesians, and I'm going to read Ephesians 4. Therefore, the prisoners of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the call into which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We're not talking about unity for the sake of uniformity. You know, we celebrate our differences, but we are talking about unity for a purpose. Jesus said, by our love, we will be known as his disciples. That's what we're looking for. That's why we're spending time together, going on holiday together, because we want to develop that sense of unity amongst us, that the world might see that we are his disciples. The fourth item on the list is the presence of God. And we've perhaps spoken a little bit about that in the past. You know, the famous conductor, Thomas Beeching, once said, Cor Anglais, kindly give me some indication of your presence at four bars after letter G. Now, the musicians amongst might understand that. Perhaps not everybody will. But when you get a good band playing in perfect harmony, You may not know what the individual instruments are playing. But what you will notice, you know, is if one of the instruments drops out. Isn't that true? Yeah. Let's face it, you know, we could go through all the motions of holding church meetings with the skills that we have in this room. We know what to say, what to do, what to sing. Maybe we can extract a few laughs along the way. Maybe we can't. Please, God, let that not be what I'm doing now. Because without the presence of God, we're just wasting our time, aren't we? It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I've prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to come and use these simple words just to encourage and perhaps challenge some of you. There's some place in your heart that you know God is just putting his finger on. Ah, yeah, well, maybe you need to change a little bit in that area. Maybe you need to grow in this area. And maybe God will be doing something with you this morning. See, it may seem like I'm just sharing information with you. But in fact, understanding and living out the vision of River Church Slough is the key to us achieving what God has called us here to do. Now, I know we're so blessed in Slough. So many speakers and visitors, even worship leaders, have come in here and said, oh, we just love the presence of God that's in this place when we start to worship. But we can't take that for granted, you know. Rather, we need to pursue God for even more of the manifest presence of his power, of his Holy Spirit. I really want to know what it is to worship and to minister in the glory zone when we're not ministering out of the gifts that God has given us, but just because God is here, is all over the place. You know, people get saved, people get healed, people get delivered. That's what we want to see more and more of. So we need to come to our meetings on time, to come with serving hearts, already primed to give our best in worship, to make that sound that really attracts heaven. When we start, from the moment the first chord or whatever it is, the first script, I'll tell you what, Kerry could have been preaching today, couldn't she? Didn't she do great at the beginning there? The scripture that you brought was fabulous. Yeah. So that when we start to declare the wonderful praise of our lovely Saviour, Jesus, that we're just right there in the presence and we make a sound that attracts heaven. The angels start hanging in, you know, filling this place because they want to see what's going on. That's what we want to see. And thing is, practicing the presence of God is not just reserved for a Sunday morning. Sometimes seems a lot easier here, but home, wherever we are, you know what we said earlier, just by inclining the affection of our hearts towards Jesus, the atmosphere around us changes. And the more time we spend in the presence of God, the more he is able to conform us to the image of his Son. Which brings us to the next part of the Slough vision, to be changed by his Spirit, both inwardly, this is all about personal change, and outwardly, affecting the community that we live and work in. Transformation, personal. Charles Dickens wrote in Martin Chuzzlewit, "We never know what's hidden in each other's heart. And if we had glass windows there, we'd need to keep the shutters up. Some on us, I do assure you." The fact is that each one of us is a complex mix of nature and nurture. Our worldview is shaped by any number of different circumstances, ranging from where we were born and raised, where we were educated, the friends we've had, and the experiences that have befallen us in life. And many of us are still carrying some of the scars of those past experiences. Do you ever react in a situation or say something and you think, where did that come from? Now, sometimes, of course, that can be really good can be born of the Holy Spirit, and it'd be really encouraging and uplifting and challenging perhaps to some people. How did you know that? But other times perhaps you can feel a bit puzzled, a bit sorry that you said or acted in a certain way. Ephesians 5, verse 25. It's talking to husbands, but it's also talking about how Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. God loves you so much. And he's done everything so that you may be like Jesus. And we have a responsibility to feed ourselves, to feed on his word, not just on Sunday mornings, but at home, and let the word of God cleanse and renew you on a daily basis. You know, Willow Creek, I don't know if many know of Willow Creek, is a mega church in the US. Its leader is a guy called Bill Hybels, fantastic speaker, very gifted communicator, much sought after for his insights into church leadership. And I think it was last year, maybe it was a little bit before that, but he admitted that with all of their amazing programs, they made a mistake in not teaching people to become self-feeders. Not teaching people to take responsibility for their own lives, to become self-feeders. We have to depend on God for growth, and we need to learn how to do that and how to feed ourselves. Which is not to say, of course, that there's not help available to you, that if you're struggling in an area, then you don't seem to be getting the breakthrough. And, you know, you're probably bored of me saying, you know, but I want everybody in the church, if they haven't done a Freedom in Christ course, to do it. Because it's fantastic. Carol's done it recently. She's sitting there nodding. It's a fantastic course for actually identifying some of the things that are affecting our lives from the past and getting rid of it. Just understanding, you know, what God has done for us. And getting rid of that. And, of course, we also have a transformation team in the church that's able to arrange. If that hasn't sorted things out, then we can arrange a Heart Styles appointment or a Sozo appointment where that's necessary. I was going to say about the Freedom in Christ, there's one about to start, I think, in Maidenhead, just for the men. And they've got a whole list of men. So if any men want to go on one, there is one starting in Maidenhead just about now. Okay. So let's be committed to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and enable him what he wants to do in us. To do what he's so good at. Changing us from one degree of glory to another. That's so encouraging, isn't it? But I'm really glad that God doesn't require us to be perfect before he actually trusts us to do anything. Aren't you? And that's where we come to talk about transforming our communities. Toyohiko Kagawa once wrote, "I read in a book that a man called Christ went about doing good. It's very disconcerting to me that I'm so easily satisfied with just going about." Now, Kagawa was a Japanese pacifist, a Christian reformer and a labor activist. And he spoke, wrote, and worked at length on ways to employ Christian principles in the ordering of society. You can tell I picked this up from Wikipedia. His vocation to help the poor led him to live among them. He established schools, hospitals, and churches. It's very easy, of course, just to go about. But God has called us to be a people that bless others. As what Carrie prayed over me. We are blessed. Kairos. We are blessed to be a blessing, to bless others, to be good news to the poor, to the hungry and the marginalized. But do we even see the need that's around us? I met a chap on Wednesday. I went to a Pioneer Leaders thing, and this guy was called Gaz Kishir. 3 years ago, he said, he was just an everyday sort of nobody. And then he saw a program about sex slavery, child sex slavery and exploitation. And was so moved, he felt challenged to do something about it. And he describes how, first of all, he was just numb, didn't know what to do, and how things broke open for him. And he says that many of the children involved come from Eastern Europe. And Gaz is today working to educate the children in these countries so that they're aware of the dangers and to break the cycle of exploitation. He produces a glossy magazine and he takes it over into these countries and he gives it out at schools. Because many of these are simple children, you know, they've just got no experience. They do not know what might happen to them. But he's seeking to educate them. There's a couple of leaflets out on the door about that organisation. It's called Love 146. And if you have a look at his website, it is moving, but it'll tell you how that name came about. On a happier note, I also heard of Rainbow Church, who have a summer camp in which many Muslim children go along to. And one day, one of the Muslim boys asked for this guy to go along and pray with him. So he went into the tent where this boy was, and the boy was sitting there on the floor, flicking through the Bible and reading it avidly. And he said, you know, I've come to pray for you, and I'm very happy to pray for you, but tell me, you know, why do you want me to pray for you? He said, well, he said, I'm just reading all about God, he said. I'm learning more and more about him, and he's just so good. I thought I'd get some prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Another 12-year-old Muslim girl got in the car with him and she closed the door. And she said, now tell me about Christianity. And he said, well, why are you asking? She said, well, you know, you people all treat me so kindly. My own family and my own people, they treat me really badly. So I want to know what you believe. What causes you to act in the way that you do? You know, there's so much need on our own doorstep. And we believe that Jesus is the answer to every one of those needs. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, one of the ways that we can influence our area is to partner with Every Nation Church. I mentioned this again last week, but for the benefit of those that weren't here, Every Nation feel that God is calling them to go out on the streets and take healing onto the streets of Slough. And we said, we want to be part of that. So next Saturday, we are meeting, or those of us that want to, in Kingsway URC, you know where the Kingsway URC is? And to bring lunch, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock, and the opportunity lasts, it was going to finish about 2:30. There's going to be a time of training, a few words of encouragement. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to eat the sandwiches that we brought along, and then we're going to go out on the street and offer to pray for people. So he did ask that I could tell him how many of us are likely to go. So I am going. If anybody else going next Saturday, Noelia's coming. That's two. Flavia's coming. You're not working? Three. That's three of us. Three and a half. It'd be great. If you've never done it, next Saturday is the... 18th. Oh, four and a half? One, two, three. Four and a half. That's fantastic. So If you have a change of heart and you want to come, then let me know and I'll tell Greg. Because I am convinced, absolutely convinced, that the majority of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for us to use in church. We can practice them in church, that's fine. But actually, they're for the world. And I believe that when we take our courage and we go out into the world and we say, look, Jesus is here to heal you, then I think Jesus will come and do it. So I expect to see miracles. Amen. So that's one way we can do it. And Di Chapman last week, do you remember the prophetic word that she brought us about looking for the man and the woman of peace? And we can do that everywhere we go, every day. Look for the man of peace. So that's it, the River Slough vision. We aim to create relational, multicultural community, united in a desire to pursue the presence of God and be changed by his Spirit so they can change the world on the doorstep. That's what we're going for. Thanks to everyone who's committed to that and committed to see it worked out in their lives. You know, Mark 4, verse 30 to 32, then Jesus said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. River Church Slough is quite small at the moment. And we have had some disappointments of people that actually helped to start this congregation, came out from Maidenhead and decided to go back because they don't want to be committed to work every week. So there have been some disappointments. Even yesterday, I think it was, I said that I would read this out to you. It's from Margaret Johnson. Dear Tom and leaders of River Church Slough, you're well aware that I've not been attending the services at Westgate much at all for several months. I did not want to make any rush decisions, but have been seeking to know where the Lord is wanting me to be in fellowship. It's not been an easy process for me. I'm probably too complicated and ask myself too many questions. Now I think it's high time for me to embark on a new phase of my spiritual journey and make a new beginning in our local Baptist congregation where I belonged for 20 years or more before. It's not an easy thing to go back. But during my time away, I've learnt a lot and matured at least a little. Thank you and the rest of River Slough for all the encouragements you've given me over the past few years. I know I shall miss seeing many of you, but we'll still keep contact where possible. I still have at home a load of books. It would be a good idea to deposit them and with somebody. I just wondered whether anybody here might like to take responsibility for that. Just once a month or so, every 6 weeks, just bring along the library and lend them out and try and keep a track of them because it's a great opportunity to read, to be encouraged without actually spending a lot of money. So we're quite small. But I nearly said this to Kerry because Kerry was talking about something similar at the moment, different. But, you know, once God told Gideon that he had too many people to fight the Midianites. And he told them to send many of them away. And I believe, you know, that God is committed to build his church in Slough. We're just a part of it. I know there are many other churches out there that are seeking to do the same thing. But if we are obedient to the vision that God has given us, it will be a glorious church. Remember Florence's word to the church in July? Can do, will do, church. And the four things she told us, it'll take compassion, concern, confession, and courage. This is God's church, but it's also your church. If you see a job that needs doing, do it. You know, I circulated a helps list a few days ago, and I only got about 4 replies. There are lots of things that we need help doing. You could be part of that. If you see something you don't much like, then help to change it. If you want to see more people here, invite them in. Invite your friends. And please, will you pray for us in leadership? Because we need your prayers. So that's it, really. That's the vision. That's what I felt that God wanted me to speak about. And hopefully, it's been encouraging, challenging, motivational, all of those things. So I'll leave it with you. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you are so committed to each one of us here. Lord God, that you didn't leave us alone, but you gave us the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, that you are committed to just conforming us to the image of Christ, that you are changing us from one degree of glory to another. And Father, we thank you that you've called us here for a purpose. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to just grasp that vision, Lord God, and the opportunities, Lord God, which are presented to us every day to take your love into this dying town, Lord God, into this world. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to be sold out for you, Lord God. We want to be obedient to what you're calling us to be. Father, we want to see a glorious church in Slough. And this is just a part of it, I know. But Father God, we want to see that. Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we've got the prophetic word. Lord, we pray that you would bring that about in the power of your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.